Welcome to Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Every week, I'll be talking to different business people, artists, sports people, and other personalities about things that they've done in their life and things that they want to do. Join me and dig deep. Welcome to this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Joe Azzopardi. Now, Joe works in the film industry, but last year actually created and acted in his own film, Head, and it won awards at short film festivals. So, welcome, Joe.
Hello, Monique.
Hello.
Oh, I must tell you all, he's a master of accents as well, so if you tune in halfway through the programme and think I'm talking to someone else.
Yeah, I'll try to pull off about 30 different people in this one.
One a minute. So, Joe, tell us about Head. How did it come about?
How did Head come about? Basically, it was the idea of me and my father, more my father than anything, because we're both avid sailors mm-hmm. and have such a passion for the sea. And from servicing loads of big productions over the years, going through Michael Bay films, you know, Assassin's Creed, going back to Troy even, these have all been productions that Latina, which is my father's company, Latina Pictures, that they have serviced over the years, and we've just wanted to come up with a good original idea that was ours and something we could do ourselves. So we came up with this concept of a sailor who's transporting a boat from Sicily to Malta, mm-hmm. solo, and he's on his way, and he puts the boat on autopilot, and he gets locked in.
Ooh, okay.
I know. And he's on a collision course with a tanker while he gets locked in the toilet.
Okay, so claustrophobia
Big
and
drama.
Collision.
Oh my god, what's gonna happen? Yeah, it's all of that stuff. And anyway, the story develops where there's this big suspense scene where the tanker's towering over the boat as it goes, and it just misses the boat.
So was that fun to film, or was that actually quite scary?
Do you know what? It wasn't actually, because in the short, it wasn't at all, because I was just in a harbour on my boat, screaming my head off with other people around. thinking, what the hell is going on that boat? Where does me go, let me out of this boat! it wasn't, obviously as an actor you need to put yourself and make everything as real as possible and really put yourself in the scene, so I obviously did that, but what's coming next in this short film is going to, I'll tell you about that later, about the feature we're going on to now, that's going to be a lot more put you in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bit more challenging for your...
It's not even more challenging. I guess the short was more challenging because I just had to imagine way more. Now, mm-hmm. with the feature film, everything's actually going to be happening around me, and it's going to be a fight to get out.
So when you're starting work on the actual feature film, because the short film won a bunch of awards.
It did. It won Best International Short at the Rome Film Festival. Mm-hmm. We've got a few Best Actor and Best Director awards at San Francisco as well.
Not too shabby for your first film, really.
Not too shabby, no. We were very, very, we were overwhelmed, actually, with mm-hmm. the response we got from it. We couldn't believe it.
And so that's encouraged you to go on and extend the story?
Pretty much. Well, we had some private investors mm-hmm. and a co-producer who believed in the film, and we managed to get our funding to mm-hmm. actually make it into a full-on feature, which we will be filming in October now.
Okay.
We've officially been greenlit, and we're going ahead with it.
Wow.
I am, in fact, going up to Croatia in 2 weeks to bring over the duplicate boat that we're using, because God forbid we wreck our own boat, because in the feature film now the story is mad. It takes place over 2 days. We've got a big storm scene at night now. It's
okay. Can I give you some advice and don't lock the door?
the story's gone if I don't lock the door, man. It's going to be a very boring story otherwise. For you guys, for the audience, I will lock that toilet. Okay. I will make it entertaining.
But you've worked in the film industry. You went to acting school.
Yeah, I did drama. In 2010, mm-hmm. I went to one of the top 5 drama schools in the UK, mm-hmm. Mount View School of Acting, and that's where I learnt my craft, mm-hmm. you could say. But that was just purely based on acting. I was no filmmaking, no, because of my work over the years, there's been a lot of learning to be a producer as well, so I've
co-produced this short film with my father, and it's lots of assistant directing as well, where it's actually working on set and knowing how a set ticks, scheduling it, organising it, and...
So your father's Winston Adzapardi, just to
Winston,
be...
Winston, the big clear. W.
So you've worked on a number of films that have been done here in Malta as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find working on a film makes you a better actor or a more paranoid actor, or how does it
I think it
translate?
Teaches me to not be as much of a diva, because when you look after actors and have to get them from A to B and hear the demands, exactly, the demands that they come out with, it's just ridiculous sometimes, and I guess if I hadn't done this work on set and I maybe started making those demands, I wouldn't have realised that it was terrible. But now I've just learned how to work with a crew well. If they tell you to stay in that spot and be there and don't run away, I will do that, you know.
Because you know what that
yeah.
means.
And also I do get to work with big actors as well from these massive films, and I get to hear their process and what they talk about. So yes, I guess it does make you develop your craft a little bit more.
So for budding actors working on a film set or in theatre, whatever, you think is a good way to go as well?
I always think it's a good way to go. Any experience you can get. Luckily, I've not had to take a job other than acting or film since I left drama school. But it's just good if you stay in the industry, just stay, you know, meet people, making contacts. I mean, that's the biggest advice I can give to anyone, networking. Networking is more than probably 50% of the industry. Uh-huh. It's just knowing people, getting those emails out.
So starting even as a... I'm going to say runner, because I'm guessing that's one of
runner,
the lowest
yeah.
rungs.
Runner,
that you can
yeah,
be.
Runner or a set or a tray. Yeah, the Malta Film Commission have really helped the film industry in the years, and to access the film fund, you always have to hire 5 trainees for every film.
Okay.
So if anybody's ever interested in being a trainee, get in contact with Latina Pictures, and it's very easy to get your foot through the door. And then it's good so you can see what departments you might want to work on. You know, you could come on and find that maybe the producing and organizing side isn't for you, but there's the art department, which, you know, just make props all day and
what fun, giant
yeah.
models of things,
exactly.
miniature models.
Exactly.
Of
yeah. You can go crazy.
I'm still scarred by seeing the shark at Popeye Village.
Oh, the shark.
Still scarred, you know. I look at anything with the same eyes after I went there as a child.
I can't revisit Popeye Village because of old Robin Williams, who is my hero as a kid. Aww. And every time I return there, I just start welling up. Aww. So I allow it.
So who else are your idols within film? Do you have any others that you kind of, I would love to have done that film? Or
I love, and he is my god of film, Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. He is, and I've always said from before I went to drama school, from when I first started thinking I wanted to be an actor, my dream was always to even just have a line in a Tarantino film, or just anything, even to work on a set. I just think he's a master of film. He's mastered every genre of film. He's gone from samurai films to World War II epics to westerns to gangster films. You know, he's doing all of it.
Can we get him to Malta to do something? Do you think?
Oh, well, I've been trying, man. I've been trying. I'll include you in my weekly email to him.
if he brings John Travolta as well, then
yeah,
I'll come and work on the set too.
Cool. We can get Pulp Fiction 2 kicked off, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe something else.
Are you a Travolta fan?
Oh, I love John.
Do you love John Travolta?
Grease 54, maybe. That would be more my thing. More my thing.
I don't think he's quite got the bod he had back then.
Just let me think.
Okay.
He's more the Karate Kid, and I don't think he looks any better. So.
No.
So apart from being in a Quentin Tarantino film, or, you know, working there, what else is on your bucket list? Because you're still a young man.
I mean, the reason I've been doing so much working on film sets recently is to one day be a producer as well and produce my own things, because as an actor, as many people know, and many established actors know, parts just don't come along with us. There's always going to be that part you don't want to play and stuff. So I thought, wait, who gives you those parts? Ah, producers. So why don't I become one of those so that I can give myself a part? So I'm tackling it from that angle at the moment, okay. Which is kind of working at the moment, because we've got the feature film of Head off the road, and that's the whole film is just me in the boat as well. So so I've gone a step further and not allowed any other actors in the film. It's just going to be me in my boat.
And you said you're not going to be a diva. You sound a bit like Madonna saying,
I know,
you know, 50 people on set.
I know. I know. Or Tom Cruise with his height. This is, I'm the same height as Tom Cruise.
There's Tom.
Yeah,
there's
I met him when he did the mummy recce when he came over here, and apparently his little technique is to dig holes for all the other actors on set so they are lower than him. So I think that is
the way to go.
That's not the way to go.
Oh, bless. No, you don't want to be like Tom Cruise.
I don't want to
Tom
be like
Hanks,
Tom
Hanks, yes, but not Tom Cruise.
Oh, God, Tom Hanks. Hanks. I met Tom Hanks as well. I had the pleasure of having dinner with him.
I was with you.
But you know when they threat you to
money. And I was the only person that didn't do a selfie. I'm gutted. But, yeah, no, that was a great night.
It was lovely, yeah. He's so good, isn't he? Ah. Life and soul of the party.
Just angel. Yeah. So, what next? Apart from film. What next? So being able to be a producer, so you can give yourself the best parts in movies.
Indeed.
And, you know, cast all the pretty girls, right? What next? What after that?
God, you know me too well, Monique. right after this is I got a small part in a Sony film, which is going to be shooting in Malta.
Okay.
Called Paul, which is, a 60 years after the death of Caesar, I believe, some kind of like Romany epic, where I'm being cast as a bully, which I've never been cast as before. I'm always the comic relief part or the really unhappy youngster, but in this one I've got I've got to play a bully, which I'm really quite looking forward to.
Yeah,
I kind of just did something crazy in the audition and went a bit nuts
and
improvised, and they seem to like it, yeah. That's another some advice for any actors out there. Make
the most of it when you're in there. No, I suppose you have to be brave.
You have to be brave. Make brave choices. Yeah. Make brave choices. That is, in the audition room, because that's what will get you remembered.
Mm. You have one.
That's very true.
You're there for a couple of minutes.
Exactly.
I guess.
And if you just do a standard read in front of a director, which is going to be exactly like the same read as he's seen the 20 people auditioning for you before, he's not going to remember you. And it's always best to just do something. Even if you just go in there and go, wah, la, la, la. Be like, why did you do that? I'm like, well, you remember me now. I'm the guy who came into the room and went, blah, blah, blah.
Do I prefer flick flacks or, you know, maybe, you know, enter the room a different way? They can see a different skill.
Or just wear a funky hat or something and then take it off for the audition. But then you'll be the guy who came in wearing that hat.
Or if they say no, at least you can turn it over and they can put money into it for you.
Oh, that, yes. go in as a busker, why not?
So is there stuff you want to do outside of film? Are you quite sporty, or are you active? Do you do anything else?
No, I have to be very fitness conscious for any films I'm doing, because I always have to fluctuate my body weight depending on the part I'm playing. Now, for example, for Heads, the director has told me he wants me to build up quite a bit, so now I'm just, at the moment, my diet just consists of chicken and rice and going to Synergy 5 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah. I play lots of squash as well. I keep active. But I don't know if there's... I've just not even thought about that, to be honest. If I wasn't in film, or I wasn't doing acting, or I wasn't doing any of that stuff, what would I be doing? Mm. I have no clue. I'd probably maybe do boat charters. I'd get because I am a sailor, I do know how to sail, but I'd probably get my sailing technique properly down and maybe do boat charters. I've always been happy on the sea, so if I was away from the industry, maybe that. I don't know. I'd probably just run for president or something.
Yeah, you know, you could do that.
Yeah, I'll try that out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't
we better not go down that route.
I'd try use my acting somewhere else, you see.
So, and if you made it hugely big, you know, Oscar winning and all of that, what would you do with if you had some time off, what would you do in that time?
Traveling's where I love traveling. I go around the world.
Yeah?
Yeah, I travel everywhere. I've already been to a good number of places for someone my age, but there's so much more of the world to see.
Ah. And where appeals to you? Where would you go if you had the first choice?
My next top one is South Africa. I need to visit South Africa. I need to go have a good old party in Cape Town, because I've heard it's brilliant down there. India's up there, South America as well. I've got loads on my travelling bucket list.
Yeah. And is it about the partying? Is it about the food? Is it about the culture?
It's about culture mostly. And I'd like to go experience other people's cultures. This is why the culture shock when I went to Asia was mad. I couldn't believe how happy they were with so little over there. And it gave me quite a nice outlook to be like, we don't need all this stuff. And even when I used to live in London when I was at drama school for the 3 years I was studying there and the 1 year I spent working there, and even the congested London city life just wasn't for me either. It's it's so much. It's so full on. As soon as you get out on the street, you're like in this line of things trying to get somewhere, getting through. You got to get on this tube, wait an hour on this tube, and then wait in the rain for a bus to go somewhere else. Ah, no. Malta, just drive somewhere. I get stuck in traffic. Fair enough now, but you know, it's, I'm
at least you have the radio.
Yeah, sure. I like my island life here.
When you travel, do you pick up accents? Because you've got a bit of a skill for. Some accents.
I do. Well, it was just, for some reason from an early age, I could just do them. You know how your mind when you're really young is like a sponge and it just soaks in all these things. I used to watch so many films, and my dad brought me up watching so many films and schooling me on whole history, and I would just always look at these actors and respect them so much and just copy what they do. So if I watched a Leonardo DiCaprio film and I saw him doing a South African accent and Blood Diamond and then an Irish accent in Gangs of New York, I would just say, okay, I need to do what he does. So I just start doing them and start rambling on, even though South Africans are one accent I just can't do.
I don't think many people can do that one, to be fair. It turns into Irish
very,
somewhere
very
down
hard.
The line.
Afrikaan. And, it's such a cool accent, though, as well.
But because no one can mimic it, though.
I think
really,
so, yeah.
And it almost brings a laugh, because you end up, I do, it ends up being Irish.
Irish, yeah. Yeah, I used to live with a guy from Northern, when I was at drama school, I used to live with a guy from the north of Ireland. I wouldn't say Northern Ireland, because I absolutely hate that. I was schooled on the 800 years of oppression they all went through from this lad from Belfast. But I would wake up every day to a different Irish folk song every morning, and it was beautiful. Wake up to her eyes, they shone like diamonds. I swear she was queen of the land. With her hair right over her shoulders, tied up in a black velvet band.
Aww, hey, Robert.
Thank you.
So that sort of thing just obviously comes naturally.
It does. It's just the people you meet as well. Like before I lived with this guy, I couldn't do an Irish accent. Spent a year going through Irish history with him and singing Irish songs with him, and now I can do a Dublin accent, a Northern Irish accent. You know, there's a big difference between them.
And so that helps as well with your castings and things?
I guess so. I don't think I'm so Mediterranean looking, I doubt I'd ever be cast as Irish, but I might need to.
Probably
you never know. I might need to whip it out someday, like I just did.
I say, when you walk into those audition rooms, having that extra skill.
Yeah.
What about anything else that's not film related on your bucket list? Is there someone you'd like to meet, or somewhere you'd like to go, or something you'd like to see even?
I don't know. It's so weird. It's because the last year, 2 years, has been so
work.
I've not even thought about that. And it's quite bad that I haven't as well, because I don't like to consider myself a person who's constantly working, doing that. I like to know quite leisurely as well. I don't a music festival.
Yeah.
I'd like to hit up a few more music festivals. I've only ever been to Secret Garden Party and Festival, but I want to hit up more of them, because they are so much fun.
There's so many happening.
Such adventures. Oh. They're so great. Oh. And they even, God, the first time I went to a festival, we were the only people there who didn't have a waterproof tent. Uh-huh. We were just these six Maltese people who had no idea how to camp, and we were just there dripping wet in this tent, covered in bin bags, because that was the only thing we could use to keep dry, with all our stuff soaked. And it sounds like we had a horrible experience, but I had the best time of my life. Ah. It was just so much fun. That it's just that, oh, what a mess have we gotten ourselves into. But I love those moments. Those moments to me are treasure and gold. I love them.
That could have been a film in its own right, actually.
It could have been, yeah. We should have attached GoPros to our heads and see if we can make something of it.
Yeah, because going back and trying to recreate now wouldn't work quite so
well. No, I don't think so, no.
Are there other things in your life like that you just think, oh yeah, I wish I'd had a camera with me?
Many times. God, I've almost died a few times. There's been three incidents where I've come so close to death, and I've just always said, oh, I wish I had a camera for that. Obviously, I think about that after. I'd be like, oh shit, I almost died. Okay, I'd say that after I said, oh no, I almost died.
Yes. What sort of incidents are they?
One was sailing. I did a middle sea race once where we were just coming up to Sicily. It was only the first day, and we got taken out by this must have been a white squall. It was just like this massive compact bit of wind, like this wind calendar shot up from like 20 knots to like 60 knots or something.
Ouch.
And it just ripped the sails, started the boat, the top end of the mast was almost in the sea, it was almost capsizing, half the boat was pretty much submerged. There was a guy, first time sailing, was just like hung on, like clinching to the wind, shaking. Mm-hmm. To get him on the side of the boat. That was a mad one.
And you got back on a boat after that. And then,
I did. I did. I almost got shot by the police once, which I can't go into detail too much about that because I might get some people in trouble. But I was basically doing a low budget film in Gozo using a firearm.
Ah.
And.
Probably shouldn't have been.
And no, well, not a real firearm. It was a BB gun. It was a fake one. But the police came around with their hands on their real guns.
Not realizing. So the moral of that story is tell people what you're
tell
doing.
Tell people
that
you're
doing. When they were doing the Michael Bay film, there was all this uproar because of Libyan cars and things going around.
Yeah, we attached a load of Libyan license plates to the cars and we had to drive them around the island.
Yeah, and people were wondering what's going on.
That film was mad. We were firing guns and blowing bombs off at 4 a.m. with people being like, can you please stop? You know, why?
Like, it was like, sorry, Michael Bay says yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say no to Michael Bay.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious. You just get some old woman coming out and being like, stop shooting, stop making the noise. And like, man, like, go away, lady, I'm trying to shoot here. I'm rude American.
Should capture those bits for the outtakes.
Michael Bay will hear of them and have them removed.
Yes. Everything he says shall be obeyed.
Obeyed.
That's a good pun. You see?
Nice. Pun slinger.
So what else is on the things to do before you die list, especially, you know, if you have a habit of trying to, you know, well, obviously now strapping a GoPro to your head.
I'll start living life with a GoPro from now on.
Uh-huh.
I'll be GoPro Joe. I know at the moment my goals are purely what is next for my career. Where am I going with my acting? Where am I going? Soon as this feature film of Head is done and we've gone through the edit and got it released, what's going to be the next project after that? Start writing something. Maybe we'll, if the feature film of Head is a success, maybe I'll get a bigger budget to do something even better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got this comedy which I wrote about 3 years ago, which I've wanted to film, and I think it'd be so good for Malta to do. I've wanted to film it for ages, but I need so much money to do it, and I'm refusing to make it cheaper by rewriting it.
Is it because you need lots of actors or lots of props?
Just lots of locations, lots of big, you know, scenes on boats, scenes on Camino as well, lots of travelling. It's a big adventure story. It's kind of like The Hangover, but in Malta.
So a normal Monday?
Yes. Joe's Monday life.
No, sometimes I do think that there are certain people who could just document their life and it would make great movies, really great movies.
I'm sure, no, absolutely. I feel that way about so many people. It's just the characters you meet along the road as well. You just think, I've got to stick you in a film, come here.
Record that person.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of Maltese friends in the film industry, or do they stay in Malta, or do people actually get to go abroad?
It's rare that people branch out. I've only been abroad once for assistant directing. I went to Scotland to do a VFX plate shoot for this film called Hunter Killer, which is coming out soon. But there are people who manage to start getting work abroad. I mean, there are. But like, you know, a number of people. I do know some people, but not the bulk of the industry. Even the Bollywood film I just worked on, they asked me to come to India with them, which was a massive thing for me. And I was like, oh, brilliant, but I can't because I have other commitments.
I've
got this Sony film.
That would have ticked off your India thing at the same time.
I would have. I'm filming, that would have been amazing, but
No joy, because when you work on films, it's like very long days.
Indeed.
No life outside of film.
No life. 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. Uh-huh. That becomes your life. Ah. That's it.
And that's yeah. really no chance to be.
Yeah, but it's nice because then afterwards, you know, you spend 5 months slaving away on this film, and you've got 3 months afterwards to go on holiday, travel.
Enjoy
you don't
it.
Have to worry about booking leave. You can just go. You're free.
Isn't it a bit weird that sort of you work on this film and it seems to take ages for it to come out? You know, for the punters.
I guess so. I'm used to it now, though. You know, you do a film and you're like you forget it. For a year, you know, and then suddenly it's out.
And when you see them all done and edited, do you think, okay?
I always think it. Any film that I've worked on and I rewatch, I just can't disconnect from it. I can't. Every time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh, filming that scene was such. That extra was such a nuisance. Remember him? I just can't. I can't disconnect from it and just follow in the story. It's really weird. That's something I need to learn to do as well.
Just
but at the moment, I'm still struggling with it.
No, because I know when I write, I'm constantly writing. You can't stop writing. And even when you finished a book or finished a story, you're still, well, I wonder where they are now. I wonder what they're doing now. So yeah. I don't know if it's the same with film, that you're wondering what happens to the story or, you know.
I guess so. Well, no, because you know the story, because the script's there in you, but it's just the way the story is told because you've been on set and watched it happen from the filming point of view, and it's actually on the screen, you're listening to it, it's so different.
Well, that's been really fun.
That's been great.
Really fun talking to you. That was Joe Azzopardi on this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me and my guest on this week's Bucket List. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Grec, the engineers for this programme.